2 Kings chapter 6. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Well, I'd like this evening just to spend a very brief time looking at these few verses. And I'd like to look at it a little bit in a different way than you might expect, in a little bit of a devotional way, and not really focusing on the miracle of the iron swimming, as great a miracle as that was, but just to look at this from a devotional aspect, and thinking of this man, Elisha, the prophet, who is with the people of God. Here he is with the sons of the prophets. And my title is, for this message I should tell you, is God with Us. And because in Elisha, the representative of God, the mouthpiece of Jehovah, the one who is in communication with God, through whom God speaks to the sons of the prophets and to the people, to Israel, well, it's as if God is with them. He is the mouthpiece of God, but he is also, we could look at him and take him as the very presence of God with the people. And what an encouragement that was to the people. What a privilege it was for the people to have Elisha there, to have, as it were, a representative of God, to know that in Elisha being amongst them, God was with them. God was amongst them. And that would have given them a lot of assurance as the people of God. And that would have given them a lot of comfort in their hearts as the Lord's people. It was a very real indication to them, a very real sign that the Lord was with them. And if Elisha is with them, if God is with them, well then, what need they fear? They didn't need to worry so much about what was going to happen to them. It sort of gave them this inner courage, this inner strength of mind and assurance, I'm sure, that, well, if Elisha is with us and God is with us, then what else do we need to fear as God's people? That's what matters most. And so, thinking of this short passage, just in this devotional and very simple way of God being with us also as his people. And we can say immediately, isn't it, if the Lord is with us, well, what do we need to fear? Whatever may happen in life, whatever problem or difficulty may come our way, whatever circumstances God may even put us into, as long as he is with us in those circumstances, well, we need not really be afraid. Well, firstly, we can see from this a community on the move. Elisha is with the sons of the prophets, but something good is happening amongst them. There's some growth in this. I think he is most likely with the sons of the prophets at Jericho, because that was quite close. They're soon going to move to the River Jordan, and I think that was the closest place. So most likely he is amongst the prophets there, but good things are happening there. It seems like there is some growth amongst, of course, these are not all bachelors. Don't think of them as, just because it says the sons of the prophet doesn't mean they're all bachelors living together in a seminary. But there were also families and children. And no doubt those families maybe were growing and had outgrown the space. But also, I'm speculating here, but also I think other people, other young men, became interested in what was happening with the sons of the prophets. That there were others who maybe had heard and seen what God had done with Elijah and what God had done with Elisha and how God was with that group. And there were others who wanted to come also under the teaching and the sound of Elisha's ministry and were willing to join this community. So I'm just speculating, but the place where they were was too small for them to continue living there. So they had to find alternative accommodation or alternative place. And as they will see soon, they decide to move closer to the River Jordan and to build a community. I don't think they had one single place where they all lived, but they had their individual places. But this is encouraging, isn't it, for us? Because as we remember and recall that Israel was steeped in idolatry, and the king was an idolater. Jezebel is still alive, still against the prophets and against Jehovah. And yet, even though the majority are in favor of idolatry and pursuing Baal, yet here the Lord's work is seeing some measure of success, some measure of growth. And it was the community here is too small, and so they need to move to another place. Good things were happening in this Jericho seminary, and it was flourishing. And we can rejoice, isn't it? Even today, we can draw a lesson in this difficult time in which we live. People's hearts seem harder than ever, and the work of God sometimes seems not to be as flourishing as we wish it was. And yet, we are thankful because we see one or two churches or three churches where there is growth. And they are outgrowing their space. And they are thinking about moving to bigger premises or changing their premises to accommodate more people. And we rejoice in that which is happening. And we give God thanks for that. I was speaking only yesterday with a young Nigerian pastor, and he is in Lagos, and he was saying, "I don't know what to do." He said, he's in a new church plant, and he said, "I've got 12 men who want to give up their secular work and want to come and give themselves to the Lord's work." I said, "Well, you know, that's a nice conundrum to have, isn't it? That's a pleasant thing to have. We wish we had such a thing, you know, people willing to give up their will." But he was so, what am I going to do with all these people? What shall I do? But we thank God even for places like that in Nigeria where God is definitely working. We wish it was the same with us, isn't it? We are a little bit on the other side. We have the space, but we don't have the people. But we do the work and we leave it in God's hands and we continue to do that. The blessing, success is from the Lord. And this Jericho Seminary was doing well. We do not know really what was happening in Gilgal Seminary or Bethel Seminary. Maybe they were also of a smaller size. Again, I'm speculating. But here, our success, really, we rejoice where it happens, and we long for our place to be filled, but it's in the Lord's hands. Well, the prophet, the people, they come up with this proposal to move to closer to the River Jordan and to build a new community there. And they come with that proposal to Elisha. They come and ask him, "Can we have your permission to go? Let us go to the River Jordan." They want his approval. They want his backing. They want his consent to this plan and proposal. And Elisha agrees to it. "Go ye," he says. And They're coming. They're wanting Elisha to agree to not to agree, but to give them the go-ahead, as it were, the permission to move. And again, that's what we should be doing, isn't it, as individuals? Whenever we have some big decision to make, maybe we are thinking about moving home or moving a job, or maybe some other big issue, young people who are thinking of getting married. Well, all these things need to be brought before God, just like this proposal was brought before Elisha. So we have big ideas come into our mind, big suggestions, big decisions to be made. Then we must pray first. We must present it to the Lord first before we go ahead. We can say, we should say, because we are not our own, we should seek the Lord's permission. Lord, do you permit me to move to such and such a place? So often people make decisions as if they are still the boss. And believers making decisions about things without inquiring from their master, is it okay for me to go here and here, or to go there and do this sort of thing? So as individuals, we should be doing that, bringing everything to the Lord. And when he says go, then we can go. If he says stay, then we stay. But also as a church, isn't it, we could say, as a church, we are to bring all our schemes, all our proposals, all the things we want to do maybe in the church. We shouldn't just introduce anything into the church, but bring it before the Lord and say, well, Lord, is this something that we should be going down? Is this thy will for us? Should we embark on such and such a project? All these things should be brought before him and his permission sought. Well, then we see how Elisha, after he gives go ahead, he said, yes, by all means, go. But and so now the plans can be made. The first steps can be taken. The tools can be prepared. The luggage can be packed and so on. The beginnings of the move can take place. But that's not enough for the people. They're not happy that they've got the go-ahead to go. They want Elisha to go with them. They want him to be amongst them. They did not want to leave him behind. They will be a happier community, they know, if he is with them. And they will feel more assured if he is amongst them. And they will feel safer if he is with them in that new environment. And they will, of course, feel more at ease in their minds to know that Elisha is with us. And so one is sent to ask him, no doubt representing them all, and say, be content, I pray thee, go with thy servants. He pleads with Elisha, and Elisha, it seemed, didn't need much persuasion. He immediately answers, I will go. I will go with them. I will go with you. Well, we are reminded, isn't it, when we read this of Moses, when he was facing that momentous task of bringing 2 million plus Hebrews into the promised land. And he didn't want to do it alone. He felt his own weakness. The Lord told him to do that, gave him that task. But he knew that he needed the Lord to be with him. And he pleaded with God for his presence to go with them. And he said, if thy presence go not with me, then carry us not up hence. And he went on to say that this was the distinguishing mark of God's people, that God was with them. This is what distinguished them from all the other nations. And he sought God's presence to be with them. It's our distinguishing mark as well, isn't it? As a church, that God is amongst us, as individual believers. What distinguishes us from the unbeliever is that God is with us, in the sense that even his Spirit is in us. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But we are those who have the Lord with us. And even as a church, this is our desire. In any new undertaking that we have as a church, we desire not only the Lord's permission and approval, but also his blessing and his presence to be with us in the work. Sad to say that there are many churches, or a number of churches, who undertake these church growth schemes, and what they see a lot of numbers, but we have to ask, is the Lord really among them? Can we really say, though they're saying some spiritual things and using some of the Bible language, is the Lord really in that church growth scheme? You think of the seeker-friendly movement and the seeker-friendly churches, where everything is organized to make it very comfortable and very easy for the unbeliever, so that he's not troubled, so that he can come into the church and sit and not feel convicted about his sin. So he won't mention about sin, because that will trouble him. He won't mention about repentance, because that may put him off and he may not come again. So everything will, you know, play down the word of God, as it were. We'll, you know, introduce the nice, sensitive, sentimental kind of music, and all these things to try and make the unbeliever feel comfortable. And yes, many people go. Many people join these churches. They see success. But we have to ask the question, well, is the Lord in that church growth scheme? Is the Lord with them? And we have to say no, because the Lord, the gospel, is one where we preach repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. We cannot omit repentance. We cannot drop it just because it's not so palatable to the unbeliever. But we want the Lord to be with us. And we know, we can be assured that he is with us when we are doing things his way. So that precious promise we often claim, Matthew 28, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Well, that was said in the context of witness, of preaching the gospel. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," precedes the promise. And that's an assurance, isn't it, to us, that if we are engaged in witness, whether with our friends, our colleagues, or whether we are on the streets witnessing, or whether we are preaching the gospel in our gospel service, that we can be assured that, especially at those times, of course the Lord is always with his people, but in an especial way we can expect him to be with us in that work and labor of reaching the lost. We are working with him. We are just workers laboring with him, but he has promised to be with us. Now we need the Lord's presence with us in such a work. What can we do without him? Whose heart can we touch? Whose mind can we change? Whatever we preach, whatever we say, is of no effect unless the Lord bless our efforts. But we have this assurance that he will be with us and work through us. Well, when they reach there, and the work begins, everyone is involved. We can see this from verse 2. The plan was for every man to take a beam. Everyone was going to be involved. Everyone had something to do. Everyone was wanting to do their part. Even a lesson there for every believer to be doing something for the Lord. But there was this one man, this one single man, who also, while he was felling a beam, we read in verse 5, and he took one swing, probably backwards, and the axe head comes off its wooden handle and it goes flying into the river. And this poor man, he's so distraught about what has happened. And he cries out to Elisha, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And he is so anxious that he has that this has happened. "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." The word borrowed there means begged. It was begged for. "I begged for this from my neighbor. I didn't have my own tool. I didn't have my own axe with which to fell a tree. But I didn't want to be idle. I couldn't afford my own axe, but I didn't want to be idle and do nothing. I wanted to make my own contribution. I wanted to participate also and help as much as I could. But now, look, the axe is broken. And what use is just this wooden handle without the axe head? And what shall I say to my companion from whom I borrowed it? He is just a poor son of the prophet, and he cannot afford to replace it. And that's why he cries out in such anxiety to Elisha, "Alas, master, what shall I do? For it was borrowed." And he did the right thing, though, didn't he? He took his anxiety to the right person, to Elisha, and he cast his care before him. And Elisha, in verse 6, says, "Where did it fall?" And when he showed him the place, where he cut a stick down from the tree, cast it into the water, and amazingly, the iron axe head came up to the top of the water and floated on the water long enough for the man to put in his hand and take it out. A miracle, no doubt. But the lessons I want to draw from just a couple is that nothing goes really smoothly in life, is it? Even for believers, even these sons of the prophets, it's only a very small thing, it seems, very tiny thing, but nothing goes smoothly even in this life. There will always be problems, always be difficulties or troubles or challenges in life. We wish we didn't have to face difficulties and challenges, but there's always something that comes up along the way, even for the sons of the prophets, the children of God. How do we handle them? How do we handle them? Well, by prayer, taking it to our great prophet in the sky, who is with us, taking them to the Lord in prayer. He can do anything. He can do anything. Nothing is difficult for him to do, and we can expect him to help us. As a church, when we face challenges and difficulties, as we do, we can take these things to the Lord, who can work miraculously and wonderfully for us because he is with us. But I think this another lesson is really to see this as an individual's problem. It wasn't really a community issue. This was just one man who had lost this borrowed axe head. And yet Elisha was willing to help this one person. He didn't think it was beneath him to help him. He didn't say, "No, you have got to go and sort it out yourself." He still kindly, graciously helped him. He could see this man was anxious and troubled about what had happened. And he wanted also to help him. What a simple lesson for us, that the Lord is concerned not only about the great things, but also about the small things. Not only about the work, his work, but he's also concerned about us as individual people, as individual souls. Not only about the great matters in life, but the small ones also in life. This was really only a small matter, an axe head being lost, but not to this distressed son of the prophet. And so also, there are maybe little things in life that we come across that are causes anxiety, and we can take those to the Savior. Nothing is too small to take to Christ. In fact, everything Because God is so great, Christ is so great, everything is small to him. You know, even to what is big to us and difficult is also small to him who fills all in all. But we can take these, all our cares, all our anxieties, and cast them on the Lord. He won't reprove us. He won't tell us off. He won't say, I haven't got time for these things. No, we can, if something is troubling us within, then we can tell him all about these things. I'm sure each one of us here can testify to small things as well as great things. And the big decisions, yes, the Lord has guided us, but also in small things. I have a few which would probably amuse you, and if I were I to tell you to them, and my wife wouldn't be too happy if I mentioned those things to you. But to me, they were the Lord's answers to prayer. Maybe I'll tell you another time. But how precious the Lord is to open himself, make himself available, even for the small things in life. Well, this is my very simple message for today, just for us to remember from this passage and to realize that just as Elisha was with the people and there for their comfort, their health, their assurance, so also our God is with us. And with us as a community of his people who are serving him, with us as individual believers, with our personal concerns and different circumstances that we're in, he knows, and he's there for us. So we draw our comfort from him. We have access to him at all times. What a tremendous privilege. This is a truism. I don't even need to say it, but we have to make use of our Savior and remember that nothing is hard or difficult to him. Nothing is too small to mention to him. And here in Christ's presence with us, we have a strong assurance and strong consolation and help as we go forward day by day.